as I wrote Scattered Minds, and, more remarkably yet, manages to keep it organized even when I am there. Ray, my life partner and soulmate, has shared the years of struggle, sorrow, laughter, learning, and love that went into creating much of the raw material for this book. She has also worked as my most stringent editor. Time and time again, her insightful comments helped me get closer to the heart of what I was trying to say. Without her loving support, this book could not have become a reality. Finally, I must express my gratitude toward my three children, Daniel, Aaron, and Hannah, who have taught me more perhaps than they should have had to, and who have warmly supported the realization of my longtime desire to become an author. Author's note: Scattered Minds is written in 7 parts. The first 4 describe the nature of attention deficit disorder and offer an explanation of its origins, while the final 3 deal with the healing process. Part 5, on the ADD child, is intended not only for parents, but also for adults with attention deficit disorder, as it gives information essential to their self-understanding. Similarly, parents who read the chapters concerning the ADD adult may gain further insights about their ADD children and perhaps also about themselves. Attention deficit disorder is sometimes abbreviated to ADD, sometimes to ADHD. To further muddy the waters, the official designation is ADHD with the H in parentheses, meant to indicate the fact that one can have ADD with or without hyperactivity. By and large, ADD has become common usage. It is the least confusing form and also the least awkward. It is the one employed exclusively in this book. The author welcomes questions from readers at his website, www.drgabormate.com. Introduction. Attention deficit disorder is usually explained as the result of bad genes by those who believe in it, and as the product of bad parenting by those who don't. The aura of confusion and even acrimony that surrounds public debate about the condition discourages a reasoned discussion of how environment and heredity might mutually affect the neurophysiology of children growing up in stressed families, in a fragmented and highly pressured society, and in a culture that seems more and more frenzied as we approach the turn of the millennium. I have attention deficit disorder myself, and my 3 children have also been diagnosed with ADD. I do not think it is a matter of bad genes or bad parenting, but I do believe it is a matter of genes and parenting. Neuroscience has established that the human brain is not programmed by biological heredity alone, that its circuits are shaped by what happens after the infant enters the world and even while it is in the uterus. The emotional states of the parents and how they live their lives have a major impact on the formation of their children's brains, though parents cannot often know or control such subtle, unconscious influences. The good news is that major changes in the circuits of the brain can occur in the child and even in the adult if the conditions necessary for positive development are created. Quick to arise whenever the environment is mentioned is the question of blame. "You mean it's the parents' fault?" people immediately ask. It is a simplistic notion that if something is wrong, someone has to be at fault. It would not help parents of children with ADD, besieged on all sides by the incomprehending judgments and criticality of friends, family, neighbors, teachers, and even strangers in the street, to have yet one more finger pointed at them. This book does not do so. A doctor in Ontario gave the father of a 9-year-old girl with attention deficit disorder a dramatically apt analogy. "Imagine," he said, "you're standing in the middle of a really crowded room. Everyone around you is talking. Suddenly, someone asks you,